Well, good morning. Don't forget to take the little black book and sign it, pass it down, the registry book, so we have a record of your visit this morning. Happy New Year. There's a recurring dream that I have that I wanted to share with you this morning, thinking about New Year's. And the dream has nothing to do with the New Year, but it seemed fitting for what we were going to be talking about, so I thought I'd share it with you. So in this dream, it happens often. I'm driving down the road. I'm in a car, and we're driving along. And I start to fall asleep while I'm driving. But I keep driving, and I keep wanting to wake up. I keep wanting to raise those eyelids, but I can't. I mean, I just can't for the life of me. And I'm still driving, and I have this fear that overcomes me that I'm going to crash into something. And so, but never once do I think to put my foot on the brake. I keep just my foot on the pedal, and I'm still driving fast, moving along, and I can't open my eyes. No matter what happens in this dream, I can't open my eyes, and when I wake up, I am relieved that it was only a dream. You might have had dreams like this, where you wake up relieved that it was just a dream, that it wasn't reality. That was one dream for me. I wonder this morning, how many of us are like me in this dream and are asleep at the wheel, with really no idea of where we're going in life? Or how many of us are here this morning and we're just going through the motions? We're sort of set on cruise control. You know, you're just sort of set on cruise control. I wonder, and I want to ask this question for us to think about this morning as we turn to the Word of the Lord. Are we awake and are we aware to life? Are we aware to the life we are living? Are we aware to the world around us? Or are we comfortable in our little boxes? Are we sort of comfortable to be ignorant to the world around us? Well, we're going to turn this morning to Romans chapter 13. And if you'll turn there this morning, we're going to look to God's Word. We're going to start in verse 8. And let us remember that God's Word is alive. It's active because God is alive, because God is active. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. That's what the Psalms tell us. So we're going to read Romans 13 starting in verse 8 this morning. Here's the word of the Lord. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, you have given us your word. Help us to understand it and to know you more by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This morning, we find ourselves confronted with the message of self-examination. As we enter this new year, many of us take a moment to reflect. We think about the year that has just passed, and we make plans for the year to come. We've talked about that already this morning. We may evaluate and examine ourselves, asking questions like, what would I like to change? What would I like to do differently? What do I want this new year to look like? Well, I used to be big on New Year's resolutions. I mean, every year I would sit down and I'd make out my list of things I wanted to change and things I wanted to do. You know, those things. I'm going to start exercising 3 times a week, and I'm going to start eating less sweets and eating more vegetables. This year, I'm going to read through the entire Bible. I'm just going to make myself do it. You know, those types of things that we think about, those lists that we do. I'm sure you can relate to those things. You know, my brother and his wife, every year they give up something for their New Year's resolution. One year they gave up French fries. Now, I don't know if I'm willing to sacrifice that much. That takes some serious dedication. How many of us have ever stuck with our goals, though, for the entire year? How many of us have really kept with it? I mean, how long do we really last? You know, do we make it through July? Maybe do we get through even March? Well, I usually was off track by February, maybe even the end of January. In fact, one year, instead of making a list, I just made one resolution. My resolution was this. I resolved that this year I will make the necessary changes in my life that I know I should make. That was my only resolution. Of course, this got me off the hook when I started feeling guilty a couple months down the road and I hadn't done anything because I didn't make any resolutions, really. Well, I wonder how we are at examining ourselves spiritually. You know, how are we at examining our life spiritually? How often do we take time to sit silently before God and to let His Spirit convict our hearts with His Word? How often do we do this? I fear that many of us are asleep to our own spiritual growth. And this is a great danger that faces the Christian. For we start to treat Jesus like a commodity. And when we start to do this, we start to treat Him like He's something we have in our portfolio. We've begun to remove Him as Lord. We've begun to take Him off the throne of our hearts because He's merely something that we've accomplished. We check it off our list. For we're not meant to achieve salvation. It's not something that we earn like a diploma or a certificate. We are meant to continually submit ourselves to the life-changing power of the gospel. That is what we are meant to do. Listen again to the words of Paul in verse 11. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. In other words, wake up, because Christ is coming back. And these are not words to the unchristian. These are words to us, the people of God. Wake up, people of God. I'm coming back. Wake up. There's no doubt that Christ will return. We believe this. In one of our essential statements, it says that we believe that He will return, that Christ will return to judge the living and the dead and to consummate history and the eternal plan of God. Scripture clearly points to this event. Let's look for a moment in Revelation 19. John the Apostle paints a vivid picture of this event. He says, starting in verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you believe this today? Do you believe that He is coming back? Are we ready for Him to come back? And we must be ready. For no one knows when Christ will return. You know, Christ Himself speaks about this, the unknown hour of His return. In Mark 13, He says this, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Those are the words of Jesus. It's time for us to wake up, I believe, because the morning is dawning. Throughout Scripture, we see a call to alertness. Have you ever noticed this? If you read through the Scriptures, you'll see this call to be ready, a call to be on guard. We'll go back to Isaiah 52, verse 1. It says, awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments. And if we move forward throughout Scripture, in Ephesians 5:14, it says, awake, sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, if you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's with His disciples, His three disciples, Peter, James, and John, the ones whom He loved, the closest, the inner circle here. And if you remember the story, these guys are here and Jesus says to them, okay, guys, you know, watch and pray and sort of sit here. And Jesus goes off sort of, and He's overcome and He sort of goes off to pray. And it says that he returns to his disciples and he finds them sleeping. And he says, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So once more, Jesus went away and he prayed. And the same thing, he comes back and he found them again sleeping a second time because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. I don't think I would either. Coming back again, and I'm still asleep. And returning a third time, he finds them asleep again. And he says, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. We must prepare for what is ahead. We must equip ourselves to undertake the services which the Lord requires from us. The call to wake up is a call to sanctification. It's a call to spiritual growth. It's a call to put off the old self and put on the new self. Let us, for a moment, look at our passage, and we're going to draw four observations as we think about heeding the wake-up call of God's Word this morning. First, we're called to care for one another. The call to care for one another. In verse 11, Paul says, and do this, understanding the present time. Paul is referring here to what he had previously just said. And what he had just said is, love your neighbor as yourself. Especially, look in verse 8, he says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Because Christ has loved us, we are obligated to love one another. It's our duty. It's what we are called to do. We loved because he first loved us, it says in 1 John. Therefore, we are called to care for one another. We are called to know the needs of those around us, which means we need to know each other. We need to be in fellowship with each other, in community with each other. And how are you doing on that today? How are we caring for our neighbors? How are we caring for each other in this own church? How are we caring for those in our community and in our world? Are you alert to the needs of those around you? Or are you happy to be sort of comfortably ignorant to them? Well, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up because the morning is dawning. Secondly, the call to wake up is a call to cease our ignorance. It's a call to alertness. Life would be simpler if we sort of ignored one another, wouldn't it? I mean, think about it. If we didn't get in relationships with each other, we wouldn't have any messy conflicts, no messy relationships. We could just sort of go along and do whatever we wanted to do and just ignore everybody. You know, life might even be seemingly easier if we ignored God's Word. Just sort of lived life with our own idea of how things should be. But is this the kind of life we're supposed to live? Is this the life that God has called us to? No, it is not. Are we living life based on our terms? Are we living life based on the terms of the one who created us? Is it okay for us to pick and choose Scripture? Kind of like it's a buffet, you know? But I don't want those. Ooh, no, not that okra. I'm not eating that. Is that what it's like? No, I don't think so. We are called to study the entire Word, to take all of it in, the whole counsel of God, the entire thing. How prepared to live life are we if we only study parts of God's Word? How prepared are we to care for one another if we are ignorant to each other, if we don't seek out the needs of those around us? The night is almost gone. Paul is saying this morning that it's time to wake up because the morning is dawning. Thirdly, God is calling us to cast off darkness, to throw off the darkness. Looking to verses 12 and 13, we read these words. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. The night is nearly over, the day almost here. When I was in high school, we used to study in literature class themes, you know, and different themes. And I remember studying the themes of Shakespeare. And one of the themes of Shakespeare was light and darkness, this day and night, this idea of good and evil. Good and evil. And every time you saw a protagonist character, there was light that sort of surrounded the character. And whenever you'd see this antagonist character, there was darkness that surrounded this character. Well, Paul uses a similar contrast here. He speaks of the night and the day, of darkness and light. And we are called to cast off the darkness and to put on the light. That is the message this morning. For God is a God of light. He is the great light that can never be extinguished. He is the great light that shines in the darkness. He is the true light, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He came into the world so that we might be pulled out of darkness. That is the light that we are to put on. You know, if we look closer at this passage, we see that there's military imagery used. That Paul is even using a little bit of military pictures here. In verse 12, he says to put on the armor of light. He calls the light the armor. And we see a connection here to his words that he uses in the book of Ephesians when he encourages them to put on the full armor of God. This is one thing in particular that a soldier does. He puts on his armor before he goes to battle. He would never go into battle unprepared. He would have made his plans. He'd put together his strategy, assemble his troops around a goal, and he prepares for battle. He checks his armor, and he is ready. He is confident as he enters battle, because he has put on his armor. We are called to put on the armor of light because we are in a battle. And it is a real battle. And we fight by casting off the sin in our lives, the darkness that tries to prevail. For our struggle, as it says in Ephesians, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers. It's against the powers. It's against world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And Paul says this, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand and resist the devil in the evil day. And after having done everything, to stand firm. It's time for us to wake up this morning. For the morning is coming. The morning is dawning. Fourthly, and lastly, our last observation is this. We're called to clothe ourselves with Christ. To put on Christ. In verse 14 in our passage, it reads, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Paul uses similar words in Galatians 3. He says, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with him. And how do we do this? How do we put on Christ? How do we clothe ourselves in him? We must look to his word. By studying His Word, by obeying His Word, by following Him, by seeking to imitate Christ. That's what Paul says. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That is our call in clothing ourselves. For in the Word of God, we find the message of the gospel. We find instruction. We find guidance for living. And how can we clothe ourselves in Christ if we don't know Christ? How can we put on Him unless we know His Word, unless we study His Word? And read His Word and let it fall over our lives. We must awaken ourselves to His Word and commit ourselves to knowing it and letting it rule in us. I read a story a couple years ago, and it stuck out to me, about a ferry over across the ocean, over in England. The ferry was called the Herald of Free Enterprise. You may have heard of this ferry. And it ran between Dover, England, and Zeebrugge, Belgium. It sort of went between these two places, and it carried cars and people. And the front of the ship would lower down and open so that the cars could be loaded onto this ship. Well, one night, the vehicles were loaded, and there were 563 passengers on board and all their cars that went along with them. And the captain put out to sea. It was dark. It was about 7 p.m. or so. Well, all went well in the sheltered harbor, you know, while they were just sort of taxiing out to the open seas. But 1 mile out, they hit the high seas, and the ship capsized in 90 seconds, and it sank within 5 minutes. This was March 1987, in case you're wondering. 193 people drowned. So some people were saved, but 193 people drowned. The ship, you see, put to sea with its front loading doors wide open. They didn't close the door. See, in the bridge, they didn't have a light that said the door was down or up. The captain assumed that the seaman responsible for closing the doors had done so. You know where he was? He was asleep in his cabin. Asleep in his cabin. Completely missed his duty, the thing he was called to. You know, as we enter into this new year, We are given the opportunity to reflect upon where we have come from and where we are going, and to think about what we would like this next year to look like. I want you to ask yourselves this morning, are you asleep? Are you asleep to what God is calling you to do? Do you need to wake up today? I hope and pray that each of us will take time to examine ourselves and to heed the Word of God. And as Paul says, that we would do this, understanding the present time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you call us, that you wake us up, that you have given us your word, that we can follow you. We pray that you would give us all a heart to seek you and a heart to examine ourselves to see how we might be like you and might live according to your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.